This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
JT Daniels, he seems to be tailor-made for Georgia's offense. Mike Griffith joining us now from DogNation.com and the AJC on the Make Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. Cole was there on the sideline inside of Sanford Stadium for G-Day on Saturday. Mike, obviously, you are watching that game. JT Daniels, I think based on what I saw, some of the throws he was able to make, I think you could certainly make the argument if you're ranking quarterbacks heading into 2021 with just all 14 SEC teams, JT Daniels, to me, he stands at the top.
Well, I mean, he should. I mean, I said that last week on the program. I mean, listen, let's rewind. I don't know, again, I'm not sure why everybody's shocked here if they stop and look. This is a guy that was the National Player of the Year over Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields when he was a junior in high school. You know, yeah, he had a tough first year at Southern Cal in what should have been his senior year of high school. But, you know, I mean, Alabama and Auburn fans know this. They've seen plenty of good quarterbacks come and go that didn't have good offensive lines or good receivers. I mean, one guy can't do it alone. JT still threw for over 300 yards on Notre Dame and Texas as a freshman. It's just, you know, he's playing shortstop back there with a center that couldn't snap the ball and running for his life. You know, when USC had three different offensive, you know, guys calling plays that year. So you put that year aside, and if you just judge him on, you know, his high school career and what he did the last four games when, you know, as I said last week, I think, you know, only Mac Jones and Zach Wilson had better quarterback ratings over the final 4 weeks once JT became the starter. And, you know, he was impressive. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, some people might think Cincinnati was legit top 10. Some people might not. I think their defense was pretty legit, and Georgia was playing. You went with their offensive line shuffled and turned out to be more of a dogfight than some people might have thought, including myself. And, you know, JT took him down the field in the last minute and a half without any timeouts and for the game-winning score. So, I mean, this is a guy that's very accomplished and super talented. So, but just because he's the best quarterback doesn't mean Georgia's going to win the SEC. I mean, they don't have a supporting cast like Alabama had last year. They don't have receivers. Kendall Milton is super talented, but he's not at Najee level yet. Maybe one day he will be. But he ain't there yet, and they don't have anybody else that's close to what Najee was, and they don't have receivers like Alabama had. So they got a great quarterback, no doubt. Got a really good defensive line, no question. Secondary suspect. And they've got a somewhat forgivable schedule after opening with Clemson. So we'll just have to wait and see how this team develops.
Mike, when you think about adding players to this team, I mean, there are a lot of pieces of that roster that are impressive. I mentioned some earlier. You mentioned some different ones just now. Is Kirby finished adding players to this roster before they kick off against Clemson?
I don't think so. I don't think he can afford to be. And guys, I can't remember the name. You might remember the name when Saban went and got that Oregon State grad transfer. It didn't seem like much at the time. What was that receiver's name for Bam a few years back? Really evolved into a nice third down target.
Oregon State.
I want to say they wanted Sam. Huh?
Are you talking about the kid from, was it from Bowling Green?
Talking about Dieter?
Oh, was it Bowling Green?
Garrick Dieter?
Yeah, he got a third down guy. You know, I could have sworn they got some. I don't know why I was thinking Oregon State. But regardless, you know, it didn't seem, it was. Yeah, it was a third down guy. And at the time, it didn't seem like a big deal. You know, but these players, they make a difference, Cole. And, you know, I'm not impressed with the Georgia receiving core, what we saw Saturday. I know that the freshman, you know, Adonai Mitchell had 7 catches for 105 yards, but
Richard Mullaney. Yeah, you're right. That. Richard Mullaney actually ended up being pretty good for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you, but yeah, just, yeah.
Well, thank you. But regardless, my point was that even though Adonai Mitchell had 7 catches for 105 yards, if you read the subtext, the small type, there were 6 other targets he didn't catch, and 2 of them were drops. And he also did that against the secondary and vanilla coverage that, oh, by the way, is losing 5 guys to the NFL. So I'm not blown away. I think Georgia's receivers that played in the G-Day game were average by SEC standards at best. Now, how these other guys come back from injuries,
I know people play video games and they like to hit the reset button and everybody's 100%, but that's not how it works in real life. And I don't know what version of Dominic Blaylock you're going to get after two knee surgeries. And I don't know how fearless Jermaine Burton is after a hyperextended knee that Kirby said made him day-to-day, but essentially ended his spring. And Marcus Roseme was kind of a possession guy before he went down with a broken ankle against Florida. So I'm not expecting, you know, Lightning to flash and Georgia to have this receiving core that's going to remind anybody of what LSU and Alabama did the last 2 years. Now, what Georgia could do is look like that USC team when it was 04, 05, trying to think the one that creamed Oklahoma. I'll never forget being at Pro, it was then called Pro Player Stadium. You know, because JT is that good, he can spread the ball. The offensive line should grow into a pretty formidable unit once they get into synchronization. They've been switching guys around a lot this spring, so they kind of looked a little scattered. But they could be pretty awesome in terms of how they can change from 1 week to the next based on the matchup. But I do not think that we're going to see shades of 2020 Alabama or 2019 LSU. I'm not buying it. I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid. I think they'll be good. I think they'll be more balanced. But they're not going to be in that discussion with what Bama did last year and what LSU did in 2019.
In regards to the position groups, was there one position group that you either saw or you heard from different people around the team that impressed them the most for Georgia this spring?
Well, I mean the quarterbacks. I mean, quarterback depth is so important, and I think Carson Beck looked really, really good for a second-year guy. You know, you can see why he was committed to Alabama. He was also committed to Florida for baseball, by the way. But you can see where this guy's athletic and very fluid, I think is a good word to use. He has a big arm. He's tall and lanky, needs to add some weight. You know, it's really helpful when you can hold a kid a year before you rush him. We've seen other schools rush guys out there, and they get killed or plastered early, and they're never the same guy again. I'm not going to mention any names of any SEC teams or where Orange has done that, but it's good that Georgia let Carson develop, and I think that's going to pay dividends. The quarterback depth is very important and impressive. I'm blown away by the tight ends, and I know Cole's impressed by this guy. It makes me downright giddy to see a guy this size who can run and wears the number zero like this Darnell Washington. I raved about him when he was a signee. He had a knee that slowed down his conditioning, and he was somewhat limited last year. But this guy's got some gloves, as they say. I mean, this guy's got some hands, and, man, he will knock you down. And he had a play where he basically just destroys some guy in single coverage, and then he just trucks this safety that goes low. I can't even think. You know, and I covered Jason Witten at Tennessee, and Jason was a load, but I don't know that I've seen a college guy this physically imposing and impressive at tight end, 6'7", 280, with these hands and this size. Cole, help me out. Can you think of anybody like this?
I mean, the only guy that I've seen that was kind of close to that, and I don't know if you remember it or not, was Cameron Clear. He played at Tennessee and Texas A&M, and he was about 6'5", 275. So, I mean, Washington's got another 2 inches on him, and from what I've seen so far, Washington is a little more fluid, moves a little bit better. So, And I think has his head on a little more straight, because Cam obviously just wasn't a guy that was really into football. But yeah, this dude's different. I mean, he is. There are not many like him. It's like like I said this earlier in the show, that just about this roster in general, the thing that stuck out to me is they got guys that don't look like normal college football players. I mean, they just physically they are imposing in a lot of places. He's one of them. You mentioned Jordan Davis. I mean, the fact that Adam Anderson's going to play some star. That a guy 6'5", 230 can run like that to be able to even pull it off, even on early downs, is just, you don't get that a lot. I mean, Amir Speed is a massive corner. I mean, I think the Amarius Mims kid is about the best-looking freshman tackle prospect I've seen in a long time, just the way he looks in pads. So, I mean, it's just, they got a couple of those guys.
They got some dudes, and there's no doubt about it. They got some dudes. I put Kendall Milton into that mix as well. I think he's a guy that's got a chance to be special, again, in a Najee Harris kind of way. He's not there yet, but I think he's a guy that could be special. Once they let him have the ball the second half of the season. But I got a theory on that Adam Anderson thing. And again, I haven't had a chance to really look closely at Alabama, but you can bet that Georgia has, and you can bet the rest of the SEC has, you know. I'll tell you a quick story. I remember covering Bama back in the day and going into Mike Dubose's office. It was his first year as head coach. He'd just taken over for Coach Stallings. And back then they had those VHS tapes they watched. He had a stack of about 8 tapes of Tennessee on his desk and like 2 of the other programs. And I said, man, I said, why you got so much Tennessee? And no, he said, Mike, you know Jamal Lewis. You know who Jamal Lewis is. I said, yeah, I know who Jamal Lewis. We got to beat Tennessee, Mike. We got to beat Tennessee. That's the team to beat. Blah, 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 blah. Peyton Manning, you know, senior year, you know, the best team gets studied. And Alabama is that team, and Bryce Young is that guy. And I've talked to Bryce's high school coach because he went to the same high school JT Daniels did, albeit he transferred there after JT left school a year early. And he said, this guy's a running back playing quarterback. And my theory on Adam Anderson at Star, it's like, is this what the, you know, because obviously there's some quarterbacks that are going to be able, you know, would pick that kind of guy apart. You can't do that against every team. But is that the Alabama package? Is that what you're going to do to Bryce Young? Are you going to put Adam Anderson out there as a star? I mean, you think about it, and I remember those Bama teams back in the day and how Gene Stallings and Bill Brother Oliver would load up those DBs just for Florida. I remember they had a backup DB go down in fall camp, and Brother Oliver was, you know, eating his ice cream cone and complaining. I said, Coach, he's a backup. He said, who do you think we got to beat to win the SEC? I said, Florida. He goes, then he ain't a backup. We're going to be going 6 DBs all day against Spurrier. So these coaches, they can say it's one game at a time, and it is, but they know who they got to get through. Georgia knows they're going to have to get through Alabama if they want to make the college football playoff. They know that. They got you. I mean, heck, they might have to get through them twice. I mean, we've already seen Alabama doesn't even have to play in their conference championship game. You know, they get that vote in. So, you know you're going to have to get through Bama, so you better plan on it. And I like this Adam Anderson as a star. And again, we're at a stage of the season, Cole, where fan bases don't really know a lot about other teams. So some of these names, they don't even know who he is. Some of these people don't even know who Adam Anderson is. But they will.
All right, so I want to go back to, you guys were talking about the tight ends. You mentioned you covered Jason Witten. What if we went back to a guy that Cole actually played against when he was at Auburn? This guy was at LSU, David LaFleur. He was taken in the first round. That was a dude with, what, 6'7", 200?
He's a big dude, yeah. I mean, double duty Davenport at Arkansas. I mean, because he played basketball, too. I think he was a good 6'6", 6'7", pretty athletic. I mean, he could catch the ball, move pretty well. We struggled with him in one game. So, I mean, there have been a few, but just not – I mean, what Mike said inadvertently earlier is, I think, what might separate Washington. A guy trying to go low on him, and he's able to – he has the flexibility to be able to get down and offset that. And that's where I think a lot of these tall tight ends, they can't do it. They can't bend well enough to be able to keep from getting hit low all the time. And Washington's got a little bit of that, and he's a willing blocker. I mean, that's the thing. And Kirby told us straight up, he's like, he doesn't like it. He doesn't love doing it, but – I mean, he gets in. I mean, as a freshman, he got in there and tried it. He put his face mask in somebody's chest and tried to block him. So, I mean, I don't know who tells our coach I don't like to block, but I mean, I guess when you're that high profile, you can. I don't know.
This guy's different. I mean, I know you hear it all the time, but players have changed. I mean, things have changed in 20 years. Besides, I mean, you don't see guys this big. I mean, this looks like somebody you'd make up for your player in some video game. I mean, you'll see guys 6'7", 280 that can run. And the hands, the thing I want to impress upon you is this guy's hands are incredible. I mean, I've seen him just snatch the ball out of midair. It's like just craziness. Just like, I mean, just you got to see it. And he'll be a target, you know, but they got another guy. They got another 6'7 guy. John Fitzpatrick is another really good pass catcher. And then they got this freshman, Brock Bowers. They say he's like George Kittle. This kid's got a 40-inch vertical jump. Not exaggerating. So, I mean, their tight ends are ridiculous. Now, I don't know that you win chance. You know, I remember when Tennessee had those guys hurt, they had Jason Witten, but Jason couldn't do it alone. I just don't know if they got the kind of juice and production on the perimeter that it's going to take. I guess that's my question mark is, can they get one? To me, Cole, I just feel like
you know, I mean, the Pickens injury is just devastating. I mean, I hate to you know, you hate to drone on, but he was such a special guy. He was headed for a 100-catch season. I mean, you were looking at a guy that was going to probably have the greatest season in Georgia history for a receiver. And there's just nobody that's close to him on this roster. So I just think they need another answer there. I think they got to go to the portal and find somebody.
Great stuff. Mike Griffith provides that 1:30 on Mondays here on Three Man Front at Mike Griffith 32 on Twitter and also the AJC and DogNation.com. Mike, we always appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Mike joining us on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline with zero sugar, zero carbs, and only 80 calories. Try cucumber, lime, peach, pear, or spicy pineapple.
This is Three Man Front.